ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Parikshit cursed by a Brahmana boy, text number 32. Tasya putro titejasvi viharan balakor bhakai rajnyagham prapitam tatam Shrutva tatredam abravit. Tasya putro titejasvi. Viharan balakor bhakai. Rajnyagham prapitam tatam. Shrutva tatredam abravit. Tasya putro titejasvi viharan balakor bhakai rajnyagham prapitam tatam shrutva tatredam abravit. Tasya putro titejasvi viharan balakor bhakai rajnyagam prapitam tatam shrutva tatredam abravit. Tasya putro titejasvi abravit. What did you say? Tasya putra titejasvi viharan balakor bhakai rajnyagyam prapitam tatam shrutva tatyam abravit. Anybody else? Tasya putro titejasvi viharan balakor bhakai rajnyagham prapitam tatam. Shrutva tatredam abravit. Tasya putro titejasvi Viharan balakor bhakai rajnyagham prapitam tatam shrutva tatredam abravi. Word for word responsibly, please. Tasya, his, the sages, putraha, son, ati, extremely, tejasvi, powerful. Viharan, while playing. Balakaha, with boys. Arvakahi, who were all childish. Rajnya, by the king. Agham, distress. Prapitam, made to have. Tatam, the father, Shrutva, by hearing. Tatra, then and there. Idam, this. Abravit, spoke. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The sage had a son who was very powerful, being a Brahmana's son. While he was playing with inexperienced boys, he heard of his father's distress, which was occasioned by the king. Then and there, the boy spoke as follows. Purport. Due to Maharaja Parikshit's good government, even a boy of tender age who was playing with other inexperienced boys could become as powerful as a qualified Brahmana. This boy was known as Shrinki, and he achieved good training in Brahmacharya by his father so that he could be as powerful as a Brahmana, even at that age. But because the age of Kali was seeking an opportunity to spoil the cultural heritage of the four orders of life, the inexperienced boy gave a chance for the age of Kali to enter into the field of Vedic culture. Hatred of the lower orders of life began from this Brahmana boy. Under the influence of Kali, and thus cultural life began to dwindle day after day. The first victim of Brahminical injustice was Maharaj Parikshit, and thus the protection given by the king against the onslaught of Kali was slackened. Om Gyanatimandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vritam Ninatasmai Shiburavi Maha Tasya Putro Titejasvi Viharan Balakor Bakai Rajnyagham Prapitam Tatam Shutta Tatredam Abravit. The sage had a son who was very powerful, being a Brahmana's son. While he was playing with inexperienced boys, he heard of his father's distress, which was occasioned by the king. Then and there, the boy spoke as follows. So in the last couple of chapters here of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit, is being introduced, and his glories are being told. It's so powerful. The qualified hearer is a very important aspect of the revelation of Vedic knowledge. We know that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to his dear friend Arjuna. Selected Arjuna. Why? Because Arjuna is a very dear friend, a devotee, and only a devotee can properly understand. So Krishna selected him. Similarly, Maharaj Parikshit is a highly qualified devotee of Krishna, Mahabhagavat. And he's been selected by Krishna to hear this great epic Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Maharaj Parikshit benefits greatly from this. But more, the plan is to deliver the fallen living entities who are suffering in the age of Kali. Krishna appears as Srimad Bhagavatam. And to do so, there's the qualified speaker, Maharaj Parikshit. Sukadeva Goswami, and the qualified hearer, Maharaj Parikshit. And both are important. So, earlier in this canto, the sages were hearing from Sutta Goswami, the sages headed by Shaunaka. And they asked questions such as, why did Vyasadeva do this? Compile the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sutta Goswami explained all that. And they also asked, why did Sukadeva Goswami take the bother to study this great scripture? He was already transcendental. And why did Maharaj Parikshit, who as the emperor is the shelter for so many people, his body has given shelter to the whole kingdom of the earthly planet, how could he just give up his body and leave? So all of this has been explained over the chapters of this first canto. What Shukadeva Goswami's position was, why Vyasula Vyasadeva narrated the Srimad Bhagavatam, why he compiled it. He'd already compiled so many Vedic literatures, all the Vedas, Mahabharata. But still he felt undone. And his spiritual master, Srila Narada Muni, explained to him, it's because you have not explicitly glorified the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, glorified his wonderful activities. Because this is the remedy for those who are struggling in the material world, to hear about Krishna, to chant about Krishna, to remember Krishna. And this is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasadeva compiled it to give us all the chance to daily and continually hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember about Krishna. It's explained early on in the Bhagavatam, second chapter, that when we have a taste for this hearing about Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna himself enters into our hearts and removes all the contaminations of the lower modes. We become initially established in the mode of goodness, and beyond that, by the continued hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam and service to pure devotees, established in the transcendental mode, Shuddha Sattva, and develop a direct relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead beyond the contamination of material consciousness. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in order to reveal this to the world, Krishna has created this arrangement wherein Maharaj Parikshit has apparently committed some improper action with a great sage, Samika Rishi. So we heard this a few verses ago, how the king, being harassed by hunger and thirst, was somewhat upset at not having been properly received by a sage. Of course, the sage was in transcendental meditation and his material senses were completely, the activities of them were completely suspended. He didn't even know the king was present. Nonetheless, the king placed a dead snake around him as a garland because he felt he hadn't been welcomed properly. So Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas explained that all of this is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is it that someone of the caliber of Maharaj Parikshit could be disturbed by hunger and thirst? It's not possible. Before his very birth, while he was in the womb of his mother, he was attacked by a Brahmastra and he tolerated it, survived it. After this incident, he leaves and starts to head back to his kingdom and is lamenting, oh, I've done something wrong. And finds out that, oh, you've been cursed to die. Immediately resolves, no more food, no more drink, fast till death. So that doesn't sound like the character of someone who would become disturbed by hunger and thirst. Can just immediately give it up with no thought of ever eating or drinking again. So there's something else going on. And just as Krishna placed Arjuna into the illusion of being overly attached to the Svajana, his own people, so that Krishna could speak Bhagavad Gita, similarly Krishna has placed Maharaj Parikshit into this position so that Shukadeva Goswami could speak to him this great Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Krishna's plan. So in this verse we're hearing of the sage's son. He's come to find that Maharaj Parikshit has done this to his father. He doesn't have any understanding that this is the arrangement of the Supreme, but is thinking in terms of bodily consciousness. We are Brahmins. He is Kshatriya. We are higher. He is lower. How dare he offer such an offense to someone higher than him? Yeah. It's explained here, he's playing with his boys, his friends, who are all childish. The Sanskrit word for boy or child is Bala, or in this verse, Balaka, a little child. The word Bala is also used to explain, describe someone who's foolish. Because children are generally foolish. They're silly. They do childish things. That's their nature. Srila Prabhupada, when he wrote his Easy Journey to Other Planets, he used this word childish to describe the activities of modern scientists in trying to reach other planets by their mechanical means, spaceships and so on. Prabhupada says these are childish activities. It indicates someone who doesn't properly understand things as they are. They're foolishly playing. And actually, Srila Prabhupada was not very happy that when his Easy Journey to Other Planets was first published in America, this statement about the childish activities of the modern scientists was edited out. And he referred to it a few times. But it's a very exact statement. People may think, oh, the activities of such, you know, people as are making rocket ships and going into space and doing so many things is very intelligent. Yeah, intelligence may be there. But the whole endeavor is childish. It's silly. It's a futile waste of time. A useless endeavor. And that's what childish activities are. So this young boy, playing with his childish friends, he is somehow or another, we've got to be careful today because we have to finish, including question time, we have to finish by 8:15. So he's playing with his friends. He hears of this so-called offense. And immediately he thinks, how dare the king? Doesn't he know who we are? We are superior. This is a symptom of his childishness, his foolishness. He's not understanding things properly. The kings, the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas, they very much cooperate together for the benefit of society. And Srila Prabhupada many times described the verse, spoke about the verse where it says, even those born of sinful wombs can take shelter of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said that, you know, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, they are the elevated members of society. Everything else can be considered a lower birth. So the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, they work together. The Brahmanas give guidance based upon the Vedas. They don't personally get involved in the management and the punishments and so on. That's left for the kings, who respect the Brahmanas. So the king is very active, and the Brahmanas giving the guidance, but together they ensure a society that can function in a God-conscious way. So yes, the Brahmana is higher than the Kshatriya. We heard yesterday in Srila Prabhupada's class, he was talking about the gradations of living entities, non-moving, and then higher than that is moving, and higher than that, and so on, so on, so on. Uncivilized human being, and higher than that is one who follows the human being who's within the Varnashrama system. That's a cultured human being. And the highest of those is the Brahmana. So there is a hierarchy. This modern idea that, you know, everybody is the same and equal is not supported in the Vedic literature. Some countries even take it as a foundational tenet of their existence, that all men are created equal. But in what sense are all men equal? We all have our different abilities, our strengths, our weaknesses. One person can do one activity very nicely, another one you try and get them to do the same thing, they're hopeless at it. There's always difference. Even you take the examples of identical twins, there's differences between them. So yes, on the spiritual platform, there is a platform of equality. We are all equal. But on the material platform, there's never equality. So the Brahmanas, yes, they are higher in the social order than the Kshatriyas. In this form of Varnashram is like a body of the Lord, with the Brahmanas being the head, the Kshatriyas the arms, the Vaishyas the belly, and the Shudras being the legs. But those who are in a higher position, they are not meant to think in terms of I am to be pleased by the lower statuses of life. This is a Kali Yuga mentality. The whole social order is meant to give pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that sense, it doesn't matter where one is situated. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, doesn't matter. Because they can all achieve the same result of, by their activities, pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Now, for the functioning of society, so that it's progressive for everybody, everybody takes certain roles. And within those dealings, there's the culture and the etiquette. One is higher, another is lower. But those who are higher should never be thinking in terms of my happiness, but in terms of Krishna's happiness. And if someone in a lower status, the natural relationship between a higher and a junior is that the junior renders service to please, and the senior gives blessings and well wishes and tries to help them in all respect. That's the natural relationship. Between equals is friendly dealings. You serve those who are higher, you're friendly with those who are equal, and you give mercy to those who are lower. Being a foolish child, Sringi did not properly understand this or the cultural dealings inherent in the relationships and was thinking in terms of, we are greater. He has offended. I will punish him. Just see my prowess. There was no question in his mind that, okay, if I am higher, then I need to show higher. I need to act higher, not this tit-for-tat, be above that. Srila Prabhupada said, if we argue with a third-class person, we become a third-class person. If one is actually more elevated, then the problems of someone less elevated will not affect them. But if we get affected by it, our consciousness is drawn into it, we start thinking in terms of, what will make me happy, then we get dragged down to the same level. So this is very much what happened to Sringi. And we know this is the beginning of the influence of Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada says, hatred of the lower order, very strong hatred of the lower orders, began from this Brahmana boy under the influence of Kali, and thus cultural life began to dwindle day after day. The first victim of Brahminical injustice was Maharaj Parikat. Now, this is very instructive. Maharaj Parikat was so powerful, he completely subdued Kali and was prepared to kill him for his nefarious activities. And Kali surrendered to him. No, please give me shelter, please give me shelter. So Maharaj Parikat gave him shelter. And then at the first opportunity, Kali influences a young boy to kill that very person who had given him shelter. This is the power of Kali. Even though the king had shown him such mercy, Kali influenced in such a way that that same king would be destroyed. Very instructive. So this young lad, he's performed an activity that is abominable. And as we'll hear in future verses, he'll lament. His father will try and, you know, do something about it. But we should also understand the applicability of this in our own lives. Sometimes in our dealings, things may not happen the way we like. Are we going to react in such a way that is influenced by Kali? Retaliation, hatred, Or will we react in such a way that is free from the influence of Kali? Understanding ourselves to be eternal servants of Krishna. This mentality that we're seeing here is diametrically opposed to what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us to do. Trinadapi sunichena tororapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahare. Think ourselves lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. In that state of mind, we can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this is the mood, the mentality of a Vaishnava. And we can see, Maharaj Parikshit, he hears about this curse. He doesn't retaliate at all. We know that he was impelled by the will of the Supreme to act how he did. But he never thought that, oh, this is Krishna's arrangement that I did that. He thought to himself, I've done bad. I've done wrong. I should not have done that. He was considering it his own misdeed and understood that something will befall me because of this. Let it come. So this is the mood of a devotee. Any misery that comes upon me, none of us desire misery, but any misery that comes upon me, certainly it is a result of my own previous improper activities. Let it come, I understand that. Krishna's so kind, he's kindly minimized it, but it's a result of my own act. We shouldn't ever think that, oh, I'm a devotee, I've done this, that's Krishna willing me to do it. No. Maharaj Parikshit never thought that. And we should never think that. And it's explained in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam that the devotee who goes on through all miseries and suffering, thinking to himself, this is simply a reaction to my past misdeeds, and continues to worship Krishna, then for him it's his rightful claim to enter into the kingdom of God. So we know that it's not just in human society that these ideas of false prestige influence people to perform unwanted activities. Like this boy, puffed up with false prestige, has done something terrible. But the same thing happens even in the demigod societies. There may not be the age of Kali affecting the heavenly kingdom, and everyone there is a devotee of Krishna, but they are generally Sakkama devotees, which means devotees who have desire for material enjoyment. The root cause of our existence in this material world is this desire to be the controller and the enjoyer. So the Sakkama devotee still has not rooted out that desire to be the controller, to be the enjoyer. The Akkama devotees they have. The Sakkama haven't. So the demigods are in this position of being Sakkama devotees. And we know that Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna's expert. By one activity, he performs very many things. So he thought to himself, let's not worship Krishna. Let's not worship Indra. Let's worship Govardhan Hill. Indra, we know, he provides all the rain, so we get all the growth, the vegetation. Vrindavan is not dependent upon some Indra in the heavenly planets. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode. It is beyond the material world. Indra is not required. Krishna showed Indra. He taught him a lesson. And at the same time he worshipped his Govardhan Hill, because Govardhan always provides everything for the cows. Lush grasses, beautiful water, nice shade. So Govardhana. Vardhana means to increase, to nourish. Always nourishing the cows. So Krishna managed to convince Nanda Maharaj, no need to worship Indra. Let's worship Govardhan. So Indra was highly offended. How dare this young boy not worship me? Don't they know who I am? I will destroy them. Exactly the same mood that we're seeing here from Sringi. I will destroy them. Sends his clouds. It's not a problem for Krishna. Just lift Govardhan Hill with his left hand. You know, to those who do not understand the position of God, they will think this is some mythology. How could a person lift a mountain and hold it up for 7 days? But it's nothing for Krishna. He's in his expansion as Shesha. He's below the 14 worlds, and on his hood, one of his many hoods, he's supporting the entire earth of Bhumandala, 4 billion miles across. That's much more than a single mountain. And it's on his hood. He doesn't even feel it there. It just sits there like a mustard seed. He's completely oblivious to its presence. So we shouldn't be like this Dr. Frog in the well, thinking everything in terms of our own understanding and what a normal human... Krishna is no challenge. He lifts the hill, protects everybody. After 7 days, puts the hill down. Indra understands, I've made a mistake here. And goes and begs forgiveness. So this position of being interested in ourselves as being controller and enjoyer causes a lot of problems. Continuously causes problems for the non-devotee. And for the devotees who haven't rooted this out of the heart, it continues to cause problems on occasion. So by Krishna's grace, we are given the opportunity to hear and chant his name, hear and chant this glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, and understand gradually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am eternally his servant. I have no other activity to perform than to please Sri Krishna with my service. Hare Krishna. I'll stop there. Questions, comments, Prabhuji?
All right, Bob. Thank you very much, Shantadu, for a wonderful presentation. We don't have a lot of time, but I'm sure a lot of you as devotees are not familiar with you. Maybe you can say something about your involvement with the TOVP. And specifically, how are we going to show the scientists that their endeavors are foolish?
We have 1 minute.
Yes. But you can talk while they're setting up. Just keep talking.
Okay. So in the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium, we are displaying the description of the universe as it is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And not just the universe, but as we all know, there's 3 domes to the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. The middle dome, suspended from the ceiling and the apex, is what Srila Prabhupada referred to as our chandelier, the planetary model. It hangs down some 200 feet. You walk in, you see the deities in front, you see the display above you. And it goes from the lower planetary systems to Bhumandala, the moving planets and stars, and then Mahajana, Tapa, Satyaloka, then the coverings of the universe, Shiva Loka, Mahavishnu breathing out innumerable universes, Brahma Jyoti, Vaikuntha planets, and finally the epitome, the culmination of everything, is Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna with the gopis, Krishna with his parents, Krishna with the cowherd boyfriends, Krishna being served by his servants. So we are presenting to the world that this is the cosmic creation. The main fault, of course, modern astronomy and cosmology is very speculative, but their main underlying fault is that it is atheistic. They do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They conjecture that everything has arisen from nothing. So our display is very much focused on showing that Krishna creates everything, Krishna maintains everything, Krishna winds it up. Everything is related to Krishna. It's Krishna's energy to try and give people the opportunity to see the world in connection to the Lord, which, as we know from Bhagavatam, is the first step in God realization. So by seeing the world connected to Krishna, we connect to Krishna and can gradually come to worshipping his transcendental form. Is that okay, Prabhu? Hare Krishna.
Malicious vengeance. In other words, like in that book Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote, which was published, I think while he was still alive, no, it was published posthumously, The Final Pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. He says that Prabhupada actually said at one point, it's sinful to allow oneself to be cheated. And Prabhupada himself, when confronted, you know, with that problem in Mumbai, Mr. Nair, he fought like anything. He didn't. And when they came back and told him at the end that actually Mr. Nair had a heart attack and he died, Prabhupada said something to the effect that, you know, yeah, I was praying for that, you know. I was hoping that was something Krishna would come in because this man was causing such a disturbance. So how do we put that all together?
Very quickly, my understanding, the devotee tolerates for himself but does not tolerate for other devotees or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Acts like fire. And the example is Lord Nityananda. He tolerated for himself when attacked by Jagai Madai. Lord Chaitanya, on the other hand, was not prepared to tolerate seeing that treatment of Lord Nityananda. So if we develop a Vaishnava society where we all deal with the proper Vaishnava etiquette and understanding, then whilst we may tolerate for ourselves, the Vaishnava friends, when they see someone being mistreated, will speak up and do something about it. So that's culture, that's society, where people protect and nourish and love each other. So we don't have to stand up for ourselves. We can take the humble position. And others will make sure that everything goes on nicely for us, because they care about us. Is that okay? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kontra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.